have a special honor to have Pastor Clement Pendo come and preach for us. Everybody, most of us are aware that around 4 o'clock today, another church comes and fellowships and worships together here. They're called One Voice Fellowship. And Pastor Clement is the associate pastor at One Voice Fellowship. And he comes to bring God's Word to us today. Pastor Clement. Let's turn to Numbers 6, 22 through 27 as he comes up.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for your warm welcome. Again, One Voice is very grateful for your generosity and your hospitality to us. It's been a blessing to get to share this building, and so we're grateful. Thank you for your partnership, and thank you so much that we get to do what God has called us to do together, and even agree at the same time. Again, I am Clement. If you can hear my accent, you can probably tell I'm not from here. I'm from the Congo, Central Africa. And I'm glad that I get to gather with my brothers and sisters here, so it's a blessing. Today, we will be looking at a very familiar passage. Maybe you hear this, or you grew up hearing this as a benediction at the end of the worship service. And I think my question to you, and the question that I asked myself at some point in my life was, have I ever thought about this blessing? That many people call the Aaronic blessing. It's in the Old Testament, and sometimes we get excited about the new, or we take some things that are familiar to almost be like they are white noises. But today, I would like us to just slow down a little bit as we hear these words and think about what God will have us do with them. I hope that when we hear this passage read and preached, that your heart will be warmed again to what it means to be blessed by the Lord. I know that we all have different ideas of what blessing looks like. For some, it means you have the house of your dream. For some, it means that you went into the college program that you dreamed of. For some, it means that you're not just a liberal arts graduate or an education major, but it means that you're a doctor, and not just any doctor, but a PhD holder. For some, it means that you've gotten your dream car. Now, I'm going to say that all those things are wonderful, but if there's anything I'd like us to catch from this passage, is that the greatest blessing is to be blessed in the presence of God. And so the theme for today is Yahweh blesses you in His presence. Yahweh blesses you in His presence. So our text is from Numbers, and this passage is one that was read after giving sacrifices. And it was during the wandering of the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness. And at this point, God is saying, yes, I know your pain. I know you're going through bad times. I know you're going through very painful moments. But I delight in blessing my people. Now, the reason the sacrifice element is very significant is that people could not approach God on their own. They needed a sacrifice to die on their behalf so they can approach the throne of God. And what we see in the New Testament, especially when you read Ephesians 1, we are told that all the spiritual blessings are found in who? In Jesus Christ. And that's because He is our perfect sacrifice. And so as we are reading this passage, I would like you to notice that when God is pronouncing a blessing, He is pronouncing a good word to you. I would like you to notice that it's not a blessing that the priests are giving from themselves, But it's a blessing that God is saying, I'm going to give it to you through the priest. And it's the same thing we do today. When Pastor Tim will give a benediction, it's not going to be the one blessing you. It's going to be God blessing you through him. And the other thing, before we read our passage and pray again, I would like us to notice that you, when you hear the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, English can be a little bit confusing because it doesn't distinguish between plural and singular. I want you to notice that although it's a congregational blessing, actually it's a very personal blessing. The you is singular. God is saying, I bless you. Yes, you're gathered here, you're among God's people, but I know you individually, and I'm blessing you. So, before we read, I would like to pray for us again, and I look forward to how God does this through us. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love towards us. Thank you that you are a God who delights in blessing your people. How we pray that you would open our hearts to your word and that through it, you would bless us by making us who we are not and by giving us what we do not have, the gift of faith that grows even more. Lord, we pray that through your word, you'd show us Christ and in him that you'd give us more of yourself by yourself, by your spirit. And we pray that, Lord, above all, as we just sang, that you lead us even more to the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since you've already turned to your Bible, again, we'll be reading Numbers 6 from verse 22 to 27. I would read, and please follow along and keep your finger there because we'll keep coming back to that same passage. God's word says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I'll bless them. Amen. Again, the title of our message is Yahweh blesses you in his presence. Yahweh blesses you in his presence. And we'll have 3 points, like Presbyterians do. Yahweh blesses you with his protection, first point. Yahweh blesses you with his gracious presence. Yahweh blesses you with his peace. First point, Yahweh blesses you with his protection. So what we'll do is we'll look at those 3 points, and somewhere along the way, I would like us to see what it means to actually bear the name of the Lord and the implications. One theologian beautifully said, to bless God is to acknowledge gratefully what he is. And that's what we just did as we were singing, as we were hearing God's word. And then he says, but to bless man, God must make of him what he is not, and give him what he does not have. Basically, without the blessings of God, we are nothing. We have nothing in ourselves. What we need, again, in a salvific sense, in a sense of salvation, is a new creation. God must make us who we are not, and he must give us the resources that we do not have. In verses 24 to 26, Lord, which is actually the Hebrew Yahweh, is repeated 3 times. And I'd like to say that for those of you who love grammar, they don't have to repeat Lord, Lord 3 times. You could say, the Lord bless you, may he do this, and may he do this. But for some reason, God chose to have in Scripture Lord three times. And I would like to suggest that it's because there's no one else who's going to be blessing. It's God Himself who blesses His people. And that's the reason for the emphasis. So, the question is, why does God alone have the prerogatives to bless? Why is it that it's He alone who can truly bless, who can make you who you are not, and give you what you do not have? And friends, if you can remember, we say Yahweh. This is not the usual name that the Israelites would have pronounced any way they want. This was a name that's called a covenantal name. It conveyed a special relationship between God and His people. In fact, in the traditional Hebrew reading up to today, when you reach Yahweh or Jehovah, you don't say Yahweh or Jehovah. You say Adonai, because that's how they consider it to be sacred. Yahweh is something that reminds us of Exodus 3. If you can remember, when Moses is at the burning bush, the God who reveals Himself to Moses says, I am Yahweh, and He says, I am who I am. It's not just a God who is up there, who is sovereign, but who can't relate to His people. It's actually a God who is both. He is up, beyond, and above everything. He is in control, and yet, at the same time, He's able to dwell with His people. That's what we see in this name. And this name has a few implications, some of which we just sang in the first song. Yahweh is eternal, and He is self-existent. As we sang, He is the uncreated creator and sustainer of all things. He is unchangeable. He is unstoppable. He is unshakable. And then we sang that that's how He is. That's who He is. Friends, we all need God's grace to say who and what we are. But God just is. And there is no qualification. We all have a birthday. I assume all of you have a birthday. A day when we began to exist. But this God has no such a day. There's no day that God never was a God. He's always been. He is the one whose time is only an eternal present. He can't be limited by the time. He can't be limited by the past. He can't be limited by the present or the future. He just is. This Yahweh is very loving, because if someone is only very powerful, but he has no love, he's a dangerous person. But God is not like that. He is powerful, but at the same time, He is Lord. That's why every time when He's doing what He does it for the best interest of His people. He intervenes powerfully, but lovingly, because He cares. Verse 24 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." To bless, as I said, is to say a good word. To bless is to pronounce a wonderful word to someone. And friends, it is one thing to hear a good word from an equal. Maybe the teenagers among themselves, adults among themselves saying, I like how you did that. That's very encouraging when you hear it from equals. It's also a very good thing when your parents say something that is really encouraging. You've performed well in school, and then your parents say, I'm very proud of you. That feels very good. But it's another thing when the creator of the universe, the owner of everything, says, I bless you when he speaks a wonderful word to you. When he says, I will bless you and I will keep you. Remember, he is the unshakable one. He is the unchangeable one. All of us at some point, we can forget everything we say. We can change our minds. But this Yahweh, when he says, I'll bless you and I'll keep you, he won't wake up in the morning and say, I changed my mind about that. It's different. He's in a class by himself. He's the one who Isaiah 6 calls holy, holy, holy. The children of Israel understood this, and they attributed all their prosperity to God's good word, to his blessing. In the Psalms, we see that even the plants growing was as a result of God's sustenance. Israelites understood that they need this God. Do you know one thing that we need to remember? You cannot separate God's blessing from his presence. Because it will be only abstract. It would only be some ideas. Imagine someone telling you, I love you, but he never shows up. When you are sad, he never shows up. When you are joyful, he never celebrates with you. What kind of friend that would be? But this is a God who doesn't just send gifts on your birthday. He shows up. He's the kind of God who, when he blesses you, he says it and he shows it. Unfortunately, we all naturally want God's blessings without his presence. Now, a story might help us here. I have a psychologist friend of mine who is not actually a Christian. And one day, he told me that many of his patients are the children of the wealthy. And then he says, but they suffer from a high rate of depression and mental health issues. Now, what I'm not saying that people who suffer mental illness, they suffer because they are children of the wealthy. It's just one incident that this psychologist describes. He says, well, some of that he linked to a lack of parental presence with their kids. So they would work very hard to provide for the family, and that meant that for the most part, these kids had the best gadgets ever. They had the newest iPhone. I heard that the iPhone 16 just came out. So these are the kids who would have iPhone 16 whenever it comes out. And yet, this was never satisfying to these kids. Their parents were rarely present when they're having dinner because they were always making more money for survival. I'm aware that some of us may have experienced that. It could be that your parents worked hard to provide for the family. What I'm not suggesting, this is not an opportunity for being bitter and angry with your parents. And for the parents, it's not a guilt trip moment. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that this is an opportunity to realize that in Yahweh, we have a God who is not like a distant CEO or an absentee parent. Whether or not you experience that, I want you to realize that you have a God who is not going to let you down. He's not going to be like the parent who was maybe far away because he loves you actually, but never showed up on your football game. This is a God who's going to always be ever present with you. He's going to bless you. He's going to protect you. He won't send bodyguards. No, he will be there, present with you. And this leads us to our second point. Yahweh blesses you with his gracious presence. Verse 25 says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. to you. Verse 25 could also be translated, the Lord make his face to smile upon you and be gracious to you. And you know, when God smiles on his people, they can be sure that he will be gracious to them and that he will deliver them from their troubles. They can be sure that he will answer their prayers and save them from their enemies, their sickness, and especially from their sin. It's one thing for somebody to say, I'm happy with you. But it's another thing when somebody smiles at you. And always the word face is associated with people being present with each other. We can talk on the phone all we want, but if I smile, you won't see my smile. We can smile on cameras. That's good. But it's another thing when you're present with somebody and you can tell they smile at you. What does this verse imply? In God's word, God's face is usually associated with his presence. So to say the Lord make his face to shine upon you is in a sense to say the Lord be gloriously present with you. This is because you can only see a smiling face of someone who is with you. In this case, you can see God if he chooses to come to you, if he chooses to reveal himself to you. Then you can have what French call a tête-à-tête, a face-to-face conversation, a face-to-face moment. So the smiling face, again, I'm going to repeat it, is associated with God's glorious and favorable presence with his people. Someone smiles at you, you can tell. This is their genuine. Some smiles are fake. You can tell that when someone smiles at you, he loves you. He wants to show you favor. Friends, you may know the joy that you feel when you experience a time that is lively with your friend. And Psalm 16 verse 11 tells us that you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's not just for one day or for an hour. It's joy forevermore. Spending time in the presence of God. Experiencing this fullness of joy changes how we go about life. That's why Moses in Psalm 90 verse 14 could say, satisfy us with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all the days of our lives. It meant that going out after a long night and knowing that I have a God who is favorable to me is going to sustain me throughout the day. And Moses understood this in the wilderness. He knew that he and the people of Israel could not make it on their own. You may remember the story in Exodus 33. He knew that if they were left to be alone, they would not be any different from other people. He knew that Israel would only be special and different from the surrounding nations because of God's gracious presence with them. Now, here, Exodus 33, read a few verses for us. It starts from 15. And he, Moses, said to him, that's the Lord, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? So that we may be distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth. But he, the Lord, said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." And I say that if Moses' concern was only getting to the promised land, he would not have spent all this time trying to plead with the Lord, but he go with them. And he understood that only God's presence with his people would make a difference. Moses understood that the promised land would be a special place only because of Yahweh's presence. That's why Moses asked the Lord to go with Israel. He knew that the promised land without God would be as disastrous as Egypt had been. He understood that unless the Lord goes with the people of Israel, what would happen? Slavery would continue. And so he pleads with the Lord. And friends, I'm going to say that many of our troubles are connected to the lack of God's presence in our lives. The lack of the sense of the reality of God in our lives. And I'm using our because I'm included. There is a number of things that I've seen in my own life that I'm like, had I acted as one who knows God is present with me, would I have done this? And friends, I want to challenge us today to pray for the reality of God this week, to pray that God would be present with us. Because of the lack of the reality of God, we tend to choose sin over God. And if you hear around the world, there's wars and conflicts, and around the world, these things are due to the fact that we think we can have God's blessings without the God of the blessings. Friends, separating who God is from what He has given us is sin, and it can never lead to real peace. You can have all the best material goods, but lack the peace that you need, the comfort that you need. And if there is one thing that the Aaronic blessing teaches us today, is that what makes a blessing, is God's presence with His people. You've heard counterfeit gospel called prosperity gospel. And what it promises is that if we have the house of our dream, the most expensive car, I don't know which one it is right now, the highest degree or any other thing, then we are blessed. That's what prosperity gospel promises. And for you who are Americans, I'm not. During this electoral season, politicians are promising that they will make the American dream a reality. Maybe you've been hearing that. Yet without God in the picture, the American dream that we all want to attain can become a curse to us. Yes, I want to affirm that we ought to work very hard to make sure that we are improving our lives. Yet God's word tells us that whether or not we attain the American dream, so long as we are walking with Him, so long as we are with Him, the promise of His blessing is eternally sure. Remember that today. I pray that we would not ever come to a point where we think we can have God's blessings without His presence, especially we who are here. Because that will be like a fish that thinks that it can move out of the water and still survive. And I think that sounds very silly, but actually that's how we usually act. We think if we swim in the waters where God is not, then we will have the best life ever. And yet, friends, one, it's an illusion. Two, it's going to harm us. It's going to be danger. We die. outside the presence of God. Only when we are in God's presence can we experience the peace that we have. And unfortunately, as we just read in Exodus 33, the damages we have caused running away from the Lord cannot be repaired by any human being. Because the best human being is sinful at best. All of us, none of us qualifies to come before the Lord. And when God says no one can see God's face and live, the only comfort we have is God's initiative. When He says, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." Friends, this is good news. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, Paul tells us that that rock is who? That rock is Christ. And the hymn, "Rock of Ages," puts it very well. "Rock of Ages, transform me. Let me hide myself in thee." Friends, when we trust in Christ, we do not face God's wrathful presence. Rather, we experience His favorable presence, because Christ has taken our place. And John 3:16 is in order here. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The question is, have you found your hiding place in Christ, the rock? Have you trusted in Christ Jesus? I know some of you have. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're not trusting enough. And the reminder is that, yes, our faith is going to be weak. In some seasons, it's going to be harder. But we ought to remember that what matters the most is the object of our faith, Christ Jesus. He's stronger than you. He's stronger than our faith. And the good news is, as we've seen in the third point, Yahweh blesses you with His peace. When Yahweh's blessings are joined to His presence, the only result is His peace. Then it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter whether you're in Virginia, whether you worship here or in another church, whether you are doing this work or the other, whether you're a medical doctor or a lawyer, it doesn't matter. What matters most is God is going to be with you. And when He's with you, you have all the peace that you need. You can be sure that He is going to pay careful attention to you. Verse 26 says, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." The Lord lift up His countenance upon you means the Lord pays careful attention to you. In other words, we are saying, may He watch you. The word countenance is actually the same word translated face. It's the same root word. This means that the Lord, the same Lord, who looks with favor on His people, also moves to action. He moves to watch over and care for His people. And you can see why the result is not just some mental comfort, but it's actually peace. And the word translated peace is the Hebrew that's famous, shalom. And shalom is more than a feeling. You can feel peaceful for a moment, and then after another moment, it's gone, just because something else has taken it. But this shalom implies wholeness, implies harmony. Sometimes our mind and our heart are not in sync. And so we feel like we are disintegrating. We feel like things are not moving well. And this peace implies total well-being. It implies that we are in total tranquility, calmness, serenity, health, prosperity, security, salvation. It implies deliverance. And as one theologian puts it, peace, shalom, means more than the absence of war or the absence of conflict. It means that we are in well-being, we are healthy, we are prosperous. It means that we have the sum total of all God's gifts to His people. And what is the greatest gift that God ever gave us, if you remember? It's Jesus Christ. And what we've received in Christ is the Spirit of God who continues to be with us every day. The New Testament, there is another blessing actually that echoes this and puts the three persons of the Trinity together. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And what we are seeing is that Christ is the door. By His grace, we enter in fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We experience God's peace. This is so comforting. And as I'm ending this message, I'd like to say, this is a great privilege to know that we are protected, we are blessed, we have the gracious presence with God, but also we have His peace. But at the same time, it's a responsibility that we have. Because this is too great of a blessing that we just can't keep it to ourselves. And friends, we are blessed to do what? To bless. God has saved us from our sin so that we can spread the same good news of peace to the lost world. And as I'm ending this message, I would like to tell a short story and then we'll pray. I remember when I was in the village a couple of years ago, maybe like 25, when my family would move to another place, nobody ever asked me, what's your name? Guess what they asked? They say, huh? What's your father's name? And whenever I say my father's name, especially if they would remember who he was, they'll say, oh, he actually resembles his father. And that usually implied that if my father was a villain, I'm in trouble. But if he was a very good man, it was a very memorable moment with those people, I would be treated very well. That's actually not the point of this story. The point of this story is that people will see you, and when you tell them, my father is this, my father is Yahweh, they'll say, really? Or they'll say, praise God that you are the son of the heavenly Father. And that's where the responsibility comes in. And maybe you're asking yourself that, I don't think I've lived the way I should. I don't think I've been a very good child to my heavenly Father. Maybe that's disappointing in some way. But as we sang in the second song, you should pray, Lord, lead me to the cross again. Lead me to my Savior again. Lead me to a place where self will die and where I'll gain a fresh perspective of what I am called to live for. Lead me to a place again where I'll experience a fresh, intimate relationship with my Father. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself as well, because I know It's a journey that we can't handle on our own. So friends, as we end this message, remember, God has blessed you with all the spiritual blessings, and these blessings can never be taken away from you. Remember, He's made you a new creation that you were not, and you have the faith that He's given you. So go out, because God has been gracious to you. Go and be a blessing to as many people as you will meet this week. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessing toward us. Lord, by your Spirit, again, remind us of how much we are blessed, that we will not lose sight of the fact that it's the King of the universe who has blessed us. Forgive us when we think that we can separate your blessings from your presence. And keep us in your presence, because only in your presence there is fullness of joy. Lord, give us more of you. And where we fail, restore us again. Where we need more of your gifts, Lord, provide them. Because you say, you'll give us the Spirit in full measure. And make us a blessing this week. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.